Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin on a base, five lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Marukva. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had begun a discussion: if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, and we have to bring the Karm Pesach, Erev Pesach, what may be done and what may not be done. And Rav Shmuel says that we could only skin the animal till the Chazah, because that's all that's really required to be able to get out the Emrim that need to be burned. And Rabbanan said that you may skin the entire animal. And as the Gemara explained, the Machlokes revolved around the Pasuk of Kapal Hashem Lemanehu. Rabbanan held that Kapal Hashem Lemanehu teaches us that whatever is necessary to do for Kvod Shemayim, we're allowed to do. And here the Kvod Shemayim tells us to skin the entire animal. Rishmo, the Gemara said, also learns Kol Pal Shem Lemanehu. But Rishmo says that even though there's a pasuk of Kol Pal Hashem Lemanehu, it only allows us to skin the animal up to the Chazah. So the way the Sefer Shaya B'Shalmi explains where we're up to in the Gemara is that given that Rishmo has been able to explain that the pasuk of Kapal Hashem Lemanehu even supports his opinion, so now the question is on the Rabbanan. If the Rabbi Shmuel is able to show us that even if we want to follow Kapal Hashem Lemanehu, we should not be allowed to skin the animal more than till the Chazar, so why indeed do the Rabbanan allow for us to do the entire animal? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Marukva, my hadlei chavrayu Rav Shmuel b'noish Rav Yochim Ebroika, how were they able to respond to him? Chachikamalei, says the Gemara, this is what the Chacham say to Rav Shmuel. Im etzilim tikka sefer masefer, if we learned in our Mishnah yesterday shir that we were saving the sefer, the tefillin, we're allowed to take along the money. Why? Because it's a covet of the sefer that we're taking it out. And once we're taking out the sefer for its covered, we could take out the money as well. Here too, we should be able to skin the entire animal. Like nafshir as a Pesach, shouldn't we be able to skin the entire animal? Says the Gemara, me tummy. How could the two situations be compared? Hasam tiltal. There we're referring to a situation of tiltal. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation of tiltal, which is nisa de rabbanon, and therefore we're lenient. Hacha, but when we're speaking about the Karman Pesach, we're talking about skinning the animal. Skinning the animal is nisa de raisa. So how could you try to compare the two situations? So the Rashba asks, in our Mishnah, there were really two considerations. One is a consideration of muksa, and one is a consideration of hoitzah. Because our Mishnah is speaking, and we'll speak about it later in our shiur today in Mitzvah Shem, to where may the sefer be taken out. So why is the Gemara only focused on the tiltal, on the muksa element, and not on the hoitzah aspect? So the Rashba answers that when we began learning Hilchos Muksa, we discussed that what is the basis that Chazal said that there is an Issa Muksa. Because Chazal were concerned that if we're going to allow somebody to move Muksa on Shabbos, they may come to Chas V'Shom to carry. So therefore, says the Rashba, when the Gemara speaks about Tiltal, which is Muksa, Hoitzah is also included, because Hoitzah and Muksa travel together. So therefore, the Gemara tries to reinterpret what is the discussion between the Rabbanan and Rishmol. Amar Rav Ashi, betarti pligi. They're really arguing with two separate subjects. Pligi betiltal, they're arguing, are you allowed to move the Karban Pesach after you remove the Emrin? Are you allowed to move them if the Or is still attached, which the Or is Muksa? Or pligi melacha. And they're arguing regarding the actual issue of melacha. Are you allowed to, how or to what degree are you allowed to skin the animal? Vachkamalei. And this is what the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Shmuel. As far as tilt is concerned, that far as Hilchus Mux is concerned, we have a raya that you're allowed to move this animal. In Matzilim, because if we learned that in our Mishnah, Matzilim took a sefer and a sefer, you're allowed to move everything because of the cover of the sefer. Like the Tatl, so the halacha similar should be that you can move the or agat basar, that even though the or of the animal is muksa, because you're allowed to move the or you're allowed to move the basar as well. That's one point that they're making. And then they continue saying, to which the Gemara asks, me dummy, how could you compare the two situations? Hasam, in the case of our Mishnah, the sefer, the tikka sefer, indeed has money in it. But it doesn't just have money in it. It also has in it the sefer. So it becomes a bosses l'davar mutter. And since it's a bosses l'davar mutter, it's not muksa. And therefore, we're allowed to move it, even though it has the money in it. Hocha, but where the R with the bosser, there's only muksa there. Because you can't eat the bosser until Matzah Shabbos. The meat of the Karban Pesach may not be eaten until it's roasted, and it's roasted on Matzah Shabbos. So if it's roasted on Matzah Shabbos, until then everything here is muksa. And therefore, once it's all muksa, we don't have a raya that just because over there you could carry it here as well. But this Gemara is the basis, say many achroinim, to a question. If somebody has at home a bag with tefillin, a tefillin bag, he has his tefillin in a bag, is the tefillin bag considered muksa? So the Yeshua Yaakov says that from our Gemara we have a raya that tefillin are not muksa on Shabbos. Because our Gemara is saying that the bag with the tefillin in it, even though it has money in it as well, is considered a bosses l'davar mutter. Why is it considered the bosses l'davar mutter? Because of the tefillin in it. But why are tefillin not muksa? You can't wear tefillin on Shabbos. So the Yeshua Yaakov and the Marsham both say that tefillin are not muksa because one could use his tefillin, one could look at his tefillin and learn from his tefillin many of the hilchus tefillin. And since you're learning from the tefillin many of the hilchus tefillin, which of course may be studied on Shabbos, that's why it's not considered muksa. And this is a raya to this position. So again, the Gemara is saying, the Gemara wanted to suggest that we should learn from our Mishnah that muksa may be moved under certain circumstances. And the Gemara says the two situations are very not comparable. Here it's a bosses davar mutter. And since it's a bosses davar mutter, it's not muksa. There it's not. Allah says the Gemara, hachi kamerlei. This is the way to understand the dialogue between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. Im mitzilin tikshel sefer mesefer. There's money there. Lona Taltal or Gabosser, says the Gemara, me dummy. Has Nasus Bavasus Ladavar Osser, or Davar Mutter. There's the tefillin and the money. So although the money is obviously muksa, the tefillin is not muksa. However, Hocha, Kula Nasus Bavasus Ladavar Osser, it's completely a Bavasus Ladavar Osser, and therefore you can't compare the two cases. Eloch Kamerle, says the Gemara. This is the way to understand. If there's a fire, Rechman Tzlan, and you need to save Sifrei Kodesh during the fire, you're allowed to bring a bag that has in it money, Lahatzabai Sefer Torah, in order to save the Sefer Torah. So similarly, now at this point, what you're carrying is a Bosses L'davar Aser. But still, the halacha is, you're allowed to move it. Loy Natal. So similarly, we should be allowed to move the R Agabasar. Says the Gemara, Vogufaminolan. And how do you know that you're allowed to, if there's a fire, that you're allowed to be able to save you're allowed to bring a bag with money to save the fire? Ilema Mehecha de Isbe Loy Shadilahu, just like we learned in our Mishnah, that if there's money in a bag, you're allowed to take that with the sefer, with the tefillin in that bag. You're allowed to carry it. It's suyanam mesinin. So similarly, you're allowed to carry this the same way. So of course the question is obvious. When in our Mishnah, we're allowing you to carry out the bag that has in it the tefillin and the money, so it's a basas l'dava osra mutter. Not only is it a basas l'dava osra mutter, but as we discussed extensively when we learned the halachas of basas, when something is a basas for a dava osra and a dava mutter, what the halacha tells us to do is look at which is the more choshev, which is the more significant. And obviously tefillin are more significant than money. Here, we're talking about a bag that you want to bring to save the Sefer Torah that only has money in it. So since it only has money on it, then it's a pure basas l'davar aser. So how are the two situations being compared? So Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskil Mi, says a very bechiddush. The halacha of davar, that something that's basas l'davar aser or mutter, is only said when the davar aser is a kli shemalachte le'iser. But when the davar ha'aser is something which is muksamach m'skufay, like money, there we don't say the concept of balas l'davar aser v'amutter. Ada hasam midam. So who says you could carry a bag with money to save your Sefer Torah? Midami, can you compare the two situations? Hasam, when you're carrying the bag that has in it the money and the tefillin, ad hachi v'hachi, nafil d'leika. We don't make you push out the money because you don't want the fire to destroy everything. Hacham, but when you're bringing a bag that has in it money, ad hachi v'hachi l'shdinin. Just throw out the money as you're coming with that bag. El amamah b'ravashi l'olam k'namina mekara. We go back to the beginning of the shir. That the machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chacham is back to the issue, to what degree may we the skin the animal that was shechted on Erev Pesach, which fell on Shabbos. And the Chacham is saying that you're allowed to take the bag that has in it the tefillin and the money, because once Chazal were makel to take the bag because of the fire, they allow you to do whatever you need to do. Here too, once the halacha is that you're allowed to skin the animal because it's Erev Pesach, you're bringing the Korban Pesach, you're allowed to skin the entire animal. Or the kakashalach. But there was a question. How can we compare the two situations? Hacha, in our Mishnah, there's a discussion, the issue is tiltel. It's an issue of muksa, or carrying to rishus, that's only us to be carried midirabonim. For hacha, whereas in the Korban Pesach issue, it's a situation of malacha. Answers the Gemara, and our situation as well, it's only a derabonin. The like kabay leila or. He doesn't need the skin, and since he doesn't need the skin, it's davashen miskaven, and therefore it's mutter. Ask the Gemara, v'bayi v'ravid armi tavayu, haven't they both taught us the moider of Shimon Pesach Reish v'layomus, that if something is certain to happen, we don't say that it's a davashen miskaven. And here too, if you're going to skin the animal, you're certainly going to be over the malach of Afshata. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about a case, the shakadle bebarzei, you're skinning the animal with small pieces. So Rashi explains, since you're taking it off with small strips are not considered derech afshata. The Rosh explains that since it's in small pieces, that's not called or. A piece of leather is only when it's a decent size a piece of leather. When it's not a decent size piece of leather, that's not considered hafshata. Others say, the Aruch explains, that as you're stripping the leather off the animal, you make holes in that leather, so it becomes a useless piece of leather, and therefore it's not considered the malacha of hafshata. That's the way Rashi learns this Gemara. The difficulty with Rashi's pshat is that when we've discussed in our shiurim the concept of davar she'eino miskaven, concept of davar shenem skavna is that you do something and there is something that will happen because it's as a result of what you're doing. And we've learned that if it's not your intention that should happen, it's considered davar shenem skavin. But if it's certainly going to happen, it's considered a psik resha, and that's why it's not considered a davar shenem skavin. But the Rishonim ask, in our Gemara, it's not that as a result of what we're doing, this is going to happen. Rabbi Kivega asks, this is what you're doing. You're doing a Maisa Afshata. So why is that called a davar shenem skavin? It is a Maisa Afshata. And therefore, why? That's Rabbi Kivega's question. And therefore, he's troubled how Rashi could call this a davar shenem skavin. The Ritva, the Meiri, it seems, had the same question. And the Meiri therefore learns our Gemara that the back and forth of the Gemara is not that it's a davar shenem skavin, that it should be considered a malach shenem tzricha legufa. And the Gemara wants to suggest that since that this is a psik resha, that when you take off the skin, you're going to have a piece of skin. So you can't call that a malach shenem tzricha legufa because you're ending up with a piece of skin. To which the Gemara answers that you're not going to end up with a piece of skin for the various different explanations we gave, why that's not, and therefore it's not considered, and therefore it remains considered the skinning also only in Issa D'Rabbanan because it remains a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So we learned in the Mishnah, Lehecha Matzilin, my son, to where may we take out the Sifrei Kodesh? Tanakam said, L'mavish Einam Afolish. And Ben Beseir said to Mavi Mefolish, a word of introduction is required. In those times, as we're going to learn extensively in the Gemara Masechta Erevin, houses opened up to Chatzeris. And Chatzeris, courtyards. And the Chatzeris, the courtyards, opened up to Mavi, to an alleyway. The Mavi could be considered Rosh Hashayachid if it has in it three walls. However, Chazal were concerned that if somebody is allowed to carry from the Chatzeris to the Mavi, they may carry from the Mavi to the street, from the Mavi to the Rishus HaRabim. In order to avoid that problem, Chazal made two requirements. First requirement is that they had to make Shtufim Mavaz. Shtufim Mavaz is very similar to what we know as Aruva Chatzeris, that all the people who have chatzeris that open up to that mavui have to provide some food, and that makes it like one rishus. And then, as we're about to learn in the Gemara, they also had to put up a heker. They had to put up some sort of a simen at the opening to recognize that this is a separate area, that this is a mavui. So says the Gemara, Hechi dami mavui mefolish. So our Mishnah spoke about a Mavi Mefolish, and our Mishnah spoke about a Mavi Sheinu Mefolish. So Gemara immediately asks, Heichi Dami Mavi Mefolish, Heichi Dami Mavi Sheinu Mefolish. What are the two examples? Amar Chizda, Shalosh Mechitzis, when you have three walls in the Mavi, Vishnei Lechem, and they're two Lechis, that's called a Mavi Sheinu Mefolish, to which the Chachamim say, that's considered a Mavi Mefolish, to which Ben Beseira, that's where the Rabbanan say you could carry. Shos Mechitzis, V'lachi Echad, if there's three Mechitzis with only one Lachi, Zeh Mavi Mefolish. But Tavayu, and they're both arguing based on the opinion of Rabbi Lezer in the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Erevin. The Tanan Hechshe Mavi, what is enough to make a Mavi, a kosher mavi, b'shamayim lechi v'kayra. You have to have a lechi v'kayra on the open by the side that's open. B'shila oimrim oy lechi oy kayra. Either a lechi or kayra alone are sufficient. And Rabbi Lezer oimer, Rabbi Lezer says you have to have two lechis. And the Gemara is suggesting that both the Chachamim and B'Beseir of our Mishnah agree with the opinion of Rabbi Lezer that a mavi normally leads to be two lechis. And the machlokes here is, the Chachamim say that therefore, by the Kisvei Kodesh as well, that in order to be able to carry the Kisvei Kodesh to the Mavi, you're going to have two lechis. And Rabbi Meseiru will hold that one lechi is enough. Amle Rava, Sholosh Mechitzis. So if you have an area that has three mechitzas and has lechi echad, mefulish karile, our Mishnah, according to the Chamim, calls that a mavi mefulish. A mavi mefulish, the definition of mefulish, means open. So yes, asked Rabbah. Rabbi Lezer certainly holds that a mavi needs to have two lechis. One lechi is not enough. But you can't call a place that has three walls and one lechi mefulish. Void the Rabbanon, and furthermore, if according to the Rabbanon, where you're allowed to carry is only a mavi that has three walls and two lechis, so if it has three walls and two lechis, not zlatoich oich lemashkin. So why is our Mishnah only allowing us to carry kisvei kodesh? We should be allowed to carry even oich lemashkin. We're going to have a Mishnah on daf kuf chaf amen aleph, where the Mishnah teaches us. Where the Mishnah teaches us over there that you could carry oichel and a mashkin to a chotzer that has a proper eruv chetzeris. But here it seems to say you could only carry kisvei kodesh. But if it has everything that's required, it has two lechis, and as the Rishonim add, it also has shtufim mevaz. So why are we limiting that you could only carry kisvei kodesh there? Ela marava. And therefore, Rava has a different interpretation of the Mishnah. Shtei mechitzas v'shnei lechoim. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where the mavi only has two walls and two lechis. Zeh mavi she'erim mefulish. Shtei mechitzas, and the Rabbanan say, we're going to allow you to carry there. However, if it has shtei mechitzas v'lechi echad, if it only has two walls and one lechi, zeh mavi mefulish, that's going to be considered mavi mefulish, and only Rebbe Meseru will allow you to carry the Kisvei Kodesh there, nothing else. Says the Gemara, V'tvai Aliba Rebbe Yehuda. The following what Rebbe Yehuda taught us. The Tanya, Yes Al Kain Om Rebbe Yehuda. We had this Braisa earlier in the Masechta. The Braisa begins to speak about where you have two houses on the two sides of Rosh Hashanah, and you have a bridge connecting those two houses. So we learned that we say that the sides of the bridge go down, pit tikra yoyer v'saisim, and the area under the bridge is considered a rishus yachid. Continues the brayse over there and says, "Yes, al kein amar Rabbi Yehuda." Rabbi Yehuda goes on to teach us that if there's just open area between the two houses on the two sides of the rishus rabbim, if you put a lechi on each side, then it could carry. Mishesh lo shnei pratim b'shnei tzidei rishus rabim, says Rabbi Yehuda, ois lechi mikan v'lechi mikan, you make a lechi on each side that's open, oi kar mikan v'kar mikan, or you put a beam on each side that's open, v'noisim b'emtza, and it could carry between the two houses. Rabbi Yehuda holds that as long as there's two walls, it's enough to be considered rishus yachim b'deraisa. And then, adding the lechis, and the kair is sufficient. Amalai, and the Chum say to Rabbi Yehuda, Eim Avram Shusram Bekach, it is insufficient to make a Rosh Hashanah that you should be able to carry just doing that way. Because if it only has two walls, it's a Rosh Hashanah Midaraisa. And if it's a Rosh Hashanah Midaraisa, the lechis and the kairis can't solve that problem. So the way Rav is explaining our Mishnah, that both the Chachamim and Ben Beseira agree with Rabbi Yehuda that two walls and two lechis are sufficient, comes along Ben Beseira and says that to save Kisvei Kodesh, you won't even need two lechis. One lechi will be enough. And the Chachamim disagree. They say, even though it's Kisvei Kodesh, you need to have two lechis. Amalei Lidoch Nami, says Abaya, to Rava, your question is still a question. The Rabbanon, when you have the two lechis, natzel toich oich lemashkin. So according to where we're learning now, the Rabbanon agree with Rabbi Yehuda that under those circumstances, it's considered a full-fledged rishus hayachid. So why are we limiting that you could only save the kisvei kodesh? You should be able to save everything to that area. Elam Ravashi. Ravashi has a different explanation of our Mishnah. Sholosh mechitz v'lechi echad. If there are three walls and only one lechi, zem bovish enim afolish. Shalosh mechitzas b'loy lechi, and that's where the Rabbanon will allow you to take kisvei hakodesh. Shalosh mechitzas b'loy lechi, foolish. Everybody agrees with Rabbi Elazar, and the machlokes in the Mishnah is as follows. So Filer Rabbi Elazar the Omer, Rabbi Meseir is saying, the Rabbanan saying that even Rabbi Elazar that holds that a mavui with three walls, binan l'chayim, you need two lechis, hanimili, when is that said, loich l'mashkin, avol, sefer Torah, even Rabbi Elazar will agree, chad lechi sagi. That's the opinion of the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Meseir is even more lenient. He says, since it has three walls, and with the raisa, three walls are sufficient, more than that is not required. Says the Mishnah, Matzilin Sholosh Sudas will let us save three meals if there's a fire, Rachman and Slon, on Shabbos. Will let us save three meals. Haroi la'odam la'odam. Whatever is needed for a person is for a person. Haroi la'behema behema. And whatever is needed for the animal is allowed to be saved for the animal. So Ritva points out, it doesn't say by an animal the din of Shal Shudas. Says the Ritva, that what the Mishnah means to say is animal doesn't have, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shemen Ashurim, the chiyuvim of eating shal sudas. Says the Ritva, there's no din that an animal should eat shal sudas. So when the Mishnah says shal sudas, it means whatever the animal needs to eat, but not shal sudas. However, the Bir Alocha and Simon Shin Lamedalid Divrei Amaskel Haroi quotes the Sefer Tos for Shabbos that since there's halacha that we learned in Masechta Brachos, Daf Mem and Aleph, Osel La'achol Kodem Shiyit Machal Behemtoi. So just like we could save Shal Sudas because that's what we give ourselves to eat. So too will be the halacha for an animal because Osel La'achol Adam we're not allowed to eat before we feed our animals. Ketzad. So explains the Mishnah. Nafla Deleika B'Leil Shabbos. If Chas V'Shalom a fire broke out on Friday night before the meal, Matzilin Mazon Shalosh Shudas. We're allowed to save three meals because on Shabbos we have to eat three meals. If the fire was B'Shachris, so there's only two meals left, then the halach is Matzilin Mazon Shalosh Shudas. Mincha, when you only have one meal left, then Mazon Suda Achas. Rabbi Yossi says, L'Oilam, no matter when the fire fell, and no matter when you ate on Shabbos, the halacha is that you're always allowed to save Matzilin Shalosh Sudas. Since Shabbos is a day on which you're supposed to eat Shalosh Sudas, so explains Rashi, according to Rabbi Yossi, the halacha Chazal said is that you always could save Shalosh Sudas. But the Ran says that even Rabbi Yossi, who's lenient, and allowing us, no matter when on Shabbos, to save three meals, says the Ran, that's only if he didn't eat at least one of the meals. But if he ate already all of the meals of Shabbos, even Rabbi Yossi will agree that you can't save anything on that Shabbos. The Prima Gadim says that when we say Matzilin Shalosh Sudas, does that mean for every person in the family? Or is it just for the person who's saving the food? Prima Gadim is not quite sure, but the Bir Halacha says that you're allowed to save Shalosh Sudas for any person in the family. And his raya is a very simple raya. His raya is that it says here that the Mishnah said we're allowed to save for animals. So people are certainly not worse than animals. If I'm allowed to save food for the animals, I'm allowed to save food for the people as well. It's a very interesting point that the Mefarshim make in learning Rashi. When we look at the first two Rashis on this Mishnah, the Rashi says, Nofel Deleika B'Leil Shabbos, he says, Koidim Achila. Shachris, he says, Koidim Suda. So the Bach in Simon Shin Lamedalid, why does the Rashi change the wording when he speaks about the meal of Friday night versus when he speaks about the meal Shabbos by day? So the Bach explains that Zman Suda of Friday night meal is any time during the night. Whereas the Zman Suda of the Shabbos morning meal is only in the morning. So that's what Rashi says. If the fire Chas V'Shalom broke out at night, Friday night, so any time during the night, If you didn't eat yet, it's still the Zman Suda, and you could save a Suda for that meal. However, if the fire broke out by day, and it's ready after Chatzos, that's why Rashi, then you can't save the meal for that time, because that time is already after the Zman of that Suda. The Prima Godim disagrees, and he says that certainly the Chiyuv to eat Tzal Sudas remains during the entire day of Shabbos. And if somebody didn't eat before the Chatzos, he's still obviously obligated to eat the Suda before Chatzos. All Rashi means to say, says the Prima Godim, is only because people usually eat in the morning. But it's not that we're only allowed to eat. It's not that we're only allowed to eat the Suda Shabbos before Chatzos, and if you missed Chatzos, you have no ability to make that up. Says the Gemara. Michti, Be'heterek HaTorach. Amish is speaking about food. Food is something that you're allowed to carry. So if it's not muksa, ask the Gemara, Natzal Tfei. Why are we limited to Shalosh Sudas? Says the Gemara, a very important concept. Amar Arava, Metarch Sh'adam Ba'alam Mamaynai, because people, when they have to save things, they get very nervous. Isharslay, if we're going to allow him to start carrying as much food as he wants, Asalach Buye, he's going to maybe extinguish the fire. And therefore, the halacha is, we have to be limited. So the Rishonim and the Achronim take this Gemara, take this point and use it for many halachas. One halacha is that if all the food is in one basket, so since I'm taking out only one basket, I could put into the one basket as much as I want. Tosfos says that our Gemara speaks about the concept that Adam Baal Amamoinai. So Tosfos says that this concern applies only to the house which is Rachman Litzlan on fire. People living in nearby houses can carry out whatever they want because they're not that frantic. The Holy Rabbi says that the Isser of saving extra food only was said from the burning houses, but only from the burning house. Chazal did not make an Isser to take from taking things from room in the house which is burning, but there's no fire in that room. Very bechidish. The Sefer Truma says that to take something to your own yard is mutter. The yard is considered part of the house. And therefore, since the yard is considered part of the house, it's like taking it from one room to another room. Moreover, says the Tosfos Rid, that this halacha was only said to the owner of the house. The concept of Metoich Shabal HaMamonai Oslech Puyei, says the Tosfos Rid, is said to the owner of the house because it's his house that's on fire. But somebody else's house, we don't have that same concern and we could be lenient. But it's very important to mention here the Ramah. The Ramah is in Simen Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Chavov. The Ramah quotes the Arzurua, who says that Bizman Hazeh, when we live amongst Akum, the halacha is we're allowed to extinguish a fire in Shabbos to prevent it from spreading to other houses. Because if there's going to be a fire and people in the town could be in danger, a Jew leaving the fire that way is putting all Jews into sakana. And therefore, it becomes a situation of sakanas nefashis. And if it's a sakanas nefashis, then of course, we always could be lenient on Shabbos. Amla Baya. Ask the Baya, Elohad Tanya. We learned in a Braisa. The Braisa says, Nishbalay Chavis Barosh Gagoy. If somebody has a barrel filled with wine and it broke on his roof, Mevia Klei or Menich Tachtel, he could bring a vessel and put it beneath the barrel to catch the wine. Uvat Shalay Yavi Klei Achaviyiklei. He can't bring a different vessel to catch the wine in mid-air as it falls from the roof. Klei Achaviyitzaref, or he can't bring a Keli and hold it next to the roof to catch the wine as it's rolling off the roof. Now ask the Gemara, Hosom my Gzerika. Here we see that Chazal made a Gzerah. Chazal were concerned that if we're going to allow you to do too much, you may come to extinguish the fire on Shabbos, which is a situation of Chilul Hashem. But why can't we take these kelim when it comes to the wine that broke? Says the Gemara, it's the same concern. For Chazal were concerned, Gzei Rishama Yavi Kliacha Der Rishus Rabbim. You may carry a keli through Rishus Rabbim to save your wine. And indeed, quotes the Gemara that price, Gufa. Nishvah Chavas Parash Gagoy. If your barrel broke on your roof, maybe kliach meniach tachter, you could bring a keli to catch the wine. Uvach yavi kliach v'yikloit, you're not allowed to bring another keli to catch the wine mid-air. Kliach v'yitzarva, bring a keli and hold it with next to the roof as it rolls off the roof. Nizdam le'orchim, if you happen to have guests and you need the wine to serve them, maybe kliach v'koilet, then you are allowed to bring another keli to catch the wine. Kliach v'mitzarv, V'lo yiklet, however, says the Mishnah, says the Braisa, don't first catch the wine and then v'achach yezmin, invite the guest. Al yazmin v'achach yiklet. First have the guest and you'll have the need for the wine. And once you have the need for your wine, then you could catch it in one of these ways. However, says the Braisa, v'emarim mekach, he can't invite guests who you know already drank and don't need the wine. And like that, have a way of being able to save the wine, even though you know you really don't need it for the guest. Meshum Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Amar Merimim, that even that is allowed to be done, says the Gemara. Lema, perhaps the machloikis that we have here, if you're allowed to do this harama or not, is actually a machloikis of Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua Kamifki. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us. We know that the Torah Akdosha teaches us. You're not allowed to kill a mother and its child on the same day. So what happens if it's Yontif? The Tanya, the mother and the baby fell into a pit on Yontif. And you want to be able to get the animals out. So normally on Yontif you could take the animals out because you're taking them out to shech them. And Yontif you're allowed to shech an animal. And in fact, the Magen Avraham explaining this Gemara says it's specifically, that Braisa is specifically speaking about a situation where it's Oisav Espinoi, where we know that you will not be able to shecht both animals because of the Isser of Oisav Espinoi or Sishchatu B'yomechon. But let's say the two animals that fell into the bar were not related to each other. There certainly the halacha would be you could take out both animals because you don't know which animal you're going to want to shecht on Yontif. Rebbe Lezer in that Braisa teaches us, Mal Sarisham Nasla Shachtai, you only could take out one animal. Vasheni Oisla Panasabim Kaimai, and the other animal you should feed where it's laying in the bar, Bishul Shalayomas, but you can't carry it out. Shuaimer, no. You could take out the first one with the intention to shecht of any shecht. And then Marmin says, you know what, I may like the second animal better. And then you have both animals. You could shecht whichever you want. But the Magen Avraham says, you're going to have to shecht at least one of them. And the Mishnah Berurah says, it's not that after you took out both of them, and you took them both out beheter, then the halacha is, you don't have to shecht either. You could say, I changed my mind, I don't want to shecht. The Rashba says that technically you don't need to shecht either of them, but it's appropriate to shecht at least one of them. People shouldn't say that this person was really playing games with the halacha. But really, what is the machlekes? If you're allowed to make a haroma. So isn't that the same as our discussion about saving the wine, inviting guests that you know that won't need to drink the wine? It's interesting to point out that I saw that the Sefer Daf al Adaf quotes a She'alos HaTshuvos Chassam Sofer, Ore Chaim Siman Samach Beis, that says we find two words in the Gemara that are similar but are not. One is the word Marimim, which we have here with an ayin, and we have another word called Mirma, without the ayin. When is the word marimim? When is the word haroma with ayin used? And when is haroma without the ayin used? So says the Chassam Sofer, wherever it's done beheter, when it's permissible to do that a haroma, the Gemara spells it with an ayin. And when it's not permissible, it's spelled without the ayin. Says the Gemara, Mamai, who says that the two machloikasin really travel together? Dilma, at kan lekom Rabbi Elazar hasam, the efshe bepanasa. Rabbi Elazar over there was machmer, because the animal that I don't bring up, I could, it will survive, and I'll give it to eat in the bar. Aval hocha de lo yefshe. Here where there's no other option how to save the wine, loy, maybe Rabbi Elazar will agree you could invite the guest, even though you know they ate. Furthermore, there's a concern of tzar bal chayim, so that's why Chazal looked for a way to be able to get both animals out. Aval hocha, it's only wine, the leket tzar bal chayim, loy, and therefore the two machlokesin do not necessarily travel together. Tana rabbanan, hitzel pas nekiya. If somebody saved, we learned in the Mishnah, you're allowed to save cholish sudas, and he took out fine bread, bread made out of fine flour. A matzah pasa draw. Now you can't say, well, I really don't want to eat fine floured bread. I want to eat flour made out of inferior flour. Nobody could say that because people obviously prefer to eat good bread. Even though we're learning, says the Ritva, that if you save pas nakia, you have no right to save pas hadra. That's only in a case where you already carry the pas nakia. But let's say you have in your house pas nakia, and there this pas hadra, and we're learning that you're allowed to save shalos sudas, you're allowed to even save them if the pas hadra, even though you have pas nakia in your home. But let's say the bread that you saved was pas hadra, inferior bread, then you could say, no, I want to eat pas nakia. And again, the way Mishnah Berurah explains, he could say, I took out pas hadra, I was so rushed, I wasn't paying attention, but I would prefer, of course, to eat the pas nakia, and therefore you could carry out the pas nakia afterwards. And he quotes the Sefer Tosfos Shabbos, who says that not only are you allowed to do that, you're allowed to do that lechatchila. First take out pas hadra, and then take out pas nakia. Matzilim Yom Kippur l'Shabbos, we're allowed to save food. If Yom Kippur was on Friday and the fire broke out on Friday, we're allowed to save food to have l'tzoruch Shabbos. Avloi m'Shabbos l'Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur comes out on Sunday, we can't save food on Shabbos on behalf of Yom Kippur. Obviously, says Rashi, we're not talking about Yom Kippur. We're talking about Matzah Yom Kippur. And that, you know, just like you can't say food for Shabbos, for Matzah Shabbos, so too you can't say food on Shabbos for Matzah Yom Kippur. Umatzilim Yom Kippurim l'Shabbos, Olam Shabbos Yom Kippurim, Vein Tzarech Olam Shabbos l'Yontif. We certainly can't say for Shabbos l'Yontif, because on Yontif, you could prepare food yourself. And since you prepare food on yourself, there, for its mutter, v'loy m'shabbos to Shabbos abo, and certainly you can't prepare, save food for this week to the next week. So I saw that the Mefarshim point out, why would I think that I could save food for Matzah Yom Kippur? Matzah Yom Kippur is a weekday. So Tosfos says that since the mitzvah of eating a suda, there's a mitzvah to eat a suda on Matzah Yom Kippur, so since there's a mitzvah to eat food on Matzah Yom Kippur, I would think you're allowed to save food for Matzah Yom Kippur. Teaches us the Braisa that for Matzah Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to save food on Shabbos. However, point out the Rishonim, the Rajba, the Ritva, the Ran, that in Yom Kippur, if a fire was allowed to burn on Yom Kippur, and you're saving food, and the reason you're saving that food is for Matzah Yom Kippur, that you're allowed to do. One is, and there are three pshatim. One is because Matzah Yom Kippur is a mitzvah. Another is if a person won't have what to eat on Yom Kippur, he won't be able to fast, he won't be able to daven properly. Another pshat is that Shabbos is more chomer than Yom Kippur. So we don't allow you to be mechal Shabbos for Matzah Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur, which is not as strict, we're allowed to save food for Matzah Yom Kippur. Tana Rabbanan. Shach pas betaner v'kiddush halav hayoyim. Somebody forgot bread in the oven and became Shabbos, and he doesn't have any other food available. And we know that there's a problem of taking bread out of the oven. on, we spoke about at the beginning of Masechta. So halachas matzil mazon shal shudus, we could save the amount of bread we need for three meals. V'ayim al cheirim bov atzil lachem. They we tell other people that they could do so as well. However, kshuroida, when you take the bread out of the oven, layirda b'marda, the halacha is that you shouldn't remove it with a special stick that was used to take out the bread. Ela b'sakin, use a knife. Ask the Gemara, any v'tanit be'er b'shmol, the Torah says, l'sasa ka malacha, yotza t'kis shayfer adiyas apas, she chachma v'ein malacha. So why, if the chachma ain't a malacha, why can't you do it even with a marda? Says the Gemara, kam de'efshe l'shanes mishaninen. Even though it's technically mutter, because it's a chachma v'ein malacha, we should try to avoid doing that if we don't need to do it. Says the Rebbeinu Yeruchim, that was only in their ovens. Their ovens, they used to put the oven, the bread on the side of the oven, and it was a chachma to know how to take that bread off. Our ovens, where it's not so complicated to take bread out of the oven, the halacha is that there's no difference how you take the bread out of the oven. Amar Rav Chisda, La'olam yashkim adam la'tzor Shabbos. A person should get up to early on Friday to shop for Shabbos. Shenema v'yohayu b'yoyim ha'shishi v'chinu ha'shiyaviyu. As soon as it became Friday, as soon as the month came down, which came down early in the morning, right away they went to collect out. Others say v'hayu means immediately as Friday becomes. Of course, the question is, to what degree is that the halacha? He says, because our Gemara says the word lo'olam. So I saw a beautiful pshat. The halacha is that certainly if you go to daven and you'll wait for shopping after davening, you won't be able to get the food that you need. You could shop even before davening. Otherwise, you should wait for after davening. Moreover, what we're learning from here is that the hachana of Shabbos is as much a part of the mitzvah, just like the Shabbos itself. And therefore, Erev Shabbos preparations is considered part of preparing for Shabbos. Omer of Abba b'Shabbos, chayv adam litzor shtei kikros. On Shabbos, somebody's supposed to cut lecha mishnah. The ksiv, the pasuk says, lecha mishnah. Omer of Ashi chazina l'Rav Kahana, I saw Rav Kahana, the nok yitarti, he would take two loaves, Shabbos u'batzachada. Omer, he said, why do I do this? Because the Torah says, lok duksiv. So here we learned the halacha of lecha mishnah. There are two halachas that we should understand. One halacha is that you're supposed to use lecha mishnah. The minig is that Friday night we have one challah on top of the other, but we cut the bottom challah. Ayd is a problem of ema vir mala mitzvahs. So what the Paiskim say we should do is the bottom challah should be pulled a little towards the person who's cutting the challah. The Paiskim also discuss when we speak about the mitzvah of lecha mishnah, which is of course a mitzvah for everybody sitting at the table. So even though the mitzvah of lecha mishnah applies to everyone sitting at the table, the Paiskim say lecha mishnah is fulfilled by the person who's leading the meal, making lecha mishnah. The people who are sitting by the table, that's enough for them to fulfill lecha mishnah, even though they each have their own private challah and they're making their own hamotzi. Rav Zeira batzar kula shirasa. He used to cut a large slice that would be enough for the whole meal. Omle Ravina Rav Ashi for Mechsikrav Sanusa. Doesn't this look like you're somebody that takes such a large piece of bread? Isn't it look like you're just love to eat? Omle, kim de kol yom of it. I don't do this every day of the week. Vidnehu to covet. I only do this on Shabbos. So people realize I'm doing it on covet Shabbos on the Mechsik Rav Sanusa. Ravami Rasi kimikle rifted their ruva. When they had the bread that they used to make the ruva chetzeris, they used to shor elevei. They used to use it for lecha mishnah. Amri, hoyavus avdu b'chad mitzvah. Since one this loaf, this challah was used for one mitzvah, l'savidba mitzvah achrita, then we should use it for another mitzvah. And we see this concept that there's a point to use something that was used for mitzvah for another mitzvah. There were people that used to use the wool to make tzitzis. They used to take wool that they did the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez with. Again, the concept, if you do this for one mitzvah, you should use it for another mitzvah. There is a discussion if, and that's not considered Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, because the Mepharshim explained the concept of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas is only applicable when I'm doing two mitzvahs on at the same time. I made the Erev before Shabbos, and here this is being eaten on Shabbos, that isn't Chavilas Chavilas. Also, there's a question, when could the challah of the Erev Chatzeres been eaten? Most Paiskim are of the opinion, you could eat it already Friday night. Because once the Erev was effective on at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains effective even if it's already not there once Shabbos continues. However, there are those that say what the Gemara means to say is that they took that Erev Challah and that the Erev Challah was used by every meal to be the second Challah of Lechem Mishnah. And then Friday, and then for Motzoi Shabbos, they actually ate up that challah by Sudas Malav Malka.